We're still studying eagles. Let's and see what they're a type of in terms of us. But let's go to back to the word, one in Luke 17, 31, I think. 37. They answered and said unto me, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. That's a strange kind of construction. But it gathered together is the word synagogu. And the body is, it's soma, which almost all the time means an alive body. Some people say that's a vulture. It was vultures and it's a dead body, but it's not. Now, the idea there's two things going on. One is the idea of the eagles. And there's two things about the eagles. Where the eagles are, there are no snakes. And so the idea of here is where the body is. And in this case, it's the body could be the eagles. But the point of it is it's a synagogue or a church. In the true meaning of it, and there are no dead bodies, i.e., there's nobody still, there's no more Gentiles, or no more Gentile mind, because where the body is, there the eagles gather. And so the whole mystery of this is about, in answering to this whole thing where one is, the two in bed together, one's taken, the other isn't. Two in the field, one is taken, the other isn't. Two women are grinding meal, and one is taken, the other isn't. The idea is who is taken. And the ones that are taken are the ones that make, that fulfill the idea of the eagles, and the fact that the eagles, there's no snakes where the eagles are. There's no more. If you believe everything I've taught for all these years, your mind is the snake. In ancient culture, it was always the mind was the snake. And so here, and you can't use a little bit of the snake. You have to abandon self completely. And therein, once that happens, then you become as an eagle. And let's look at that in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31. Well, let's start a little bit earlier. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So here the eagle is a picture of the believer. In Luke, it's a picture of the believer without any snakes. Does everybody understand that? Let's look at some more. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, I think. Yeah, this is Deuteronomy 32 is the song of Moses. Well, it's a second song of Moses. First song of Moses is chapter 15. And they sang the song of Moses as they were escaped from Pharaoh.
This is his hit song. We're reading that, right?
This is the hit song.
It's big at the top of the charts.
So we miss Skippy. Okay, verse 11. Well, let's go up a little bit. We have most time. In verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God within him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flint rock, on and on. But the point of it is, here Jacob, who is our most pristine model, is compared to an eagle. And he talks about, remember the days of old. If you don't remember, ask your father and he will tell you of them. And what is it about the days of old? In terms of the people that were considered the righteous, there was abandonment of self. They saw Christ. And once they saw him, there was no more of them. It took Jacob a while. He had to struggle. And he struggled with that angel until, and the angel wouldn't let him go until he told the angel his name. Just like the angel won't let you go until you tell the angel your name, your true name, not Nilda or Jeff or Anthony or Gary, but your true name is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And once he told them his name, then the struggle ended, and his name was changed, and he was no more called Jacob, but Israel, she who sees God. That's the mystery that should be repeated in every believer. What? You looked quizzical. Or maybe that's just the way you look these days.
That's a cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I like that.
That's a wild picture of this, the way God's leading them as an eagle.
Amen.
It's a great.
But this eagle, again, the eagle appear. What happens? Does the eagle appear when there are no snakes, or does the snake, the eagle, are the snakes afraid of the eagle?
The eagle eats the snake.
All right. Your enemies shall be food for you. But that food can't be there You can't be the eagle until you stop being Jacob.
Yeah, recognizing you're the Antichrist gives you the reason to repent, which is the source of your ability to let go of yourself and all the good stuff.
And then, as we've talked about so often lately, this whole mystery of when you look at the so-called miracles in the New Testament, if it's a healing, it was never a gradual healing. If it was going to be healed, it was instantaneous. They walked and they knew that whatsoever they asked, the Father would do. Now, where's that power? It's not power. We don't have that power because the snake is still present in our assembly. Somebody must have a response to that.
Get him out.
Hmm?
Get rid of him.
The only way you get rid of the snake is two ways, preaching the cross and repentance. The snake, I know this, some don't like this, but the snake is the default position. That's why there must be, and the critical issue is repentance. Told you so many times lately, but if there is something that you are about and you feel that in order to accomplish that you must use your mind, then you've got to at least take this lowest seat. You've got to say, Father, forgive me, I don't know what else to do. But if you justify it, then you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. There's abandonment, or there's nothing. All right, let's look at some more. Did we go to verse 11 yet? Yeah, as an eagle.
Yeah.
Huh?
We did, but it's a pretty neat picture.
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god within him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. He had dominion over the high places. There was no more his Jerusalem that now is, which was your mind, was destroyed. It was destroyed because you saw him. He was the evil one was destroyed by the brightness of his presence. That can't happen until there's repentance. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Let's go to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It should say, praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with a loving kindness and tender mercies, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, how is it renewed like the eagles? What does that mean? The eagle is a strange bird, much different than most birds, because the eagle continually sheds its feathers, so that essentially it's every few, I don't know, period of time, but whatever that period of time is, it's unlike any other bird. All his feathers are shed and new ones are coming. Now, that is a picture of what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, and also emptying, because you're
constantly emptying.
Of your feathers.
Forgetting those things which are behind, neglecting all of the things that the world does, neglecting them, all of the things that you did, all of the things that you formerly had righteousness in. And remember what we talked about yesterday. Remember the righteousness that you gained when you learned how to do something. That's what it's talking about. No more righteousness, which is of the law. It's not just the righteousness. There's no righteousness in the law of Moses. It just should cause you to repent every time you read it. But there's righteousness in the way a thing works. And you get your sustenance from it. That's where you're, oh, I learned how to speak a new language. I learned how to do this. I learned how to write. I learned the idiot computer. Whatever it is, you gain righteousness from it. So therefore, you're gaining righteousness from the law. Therefore, your garment is spotted by the flesh. Forgetting, neglecting, abandoning all those things which are behind.
Not glory in their riches or the wise in their understanding.
Amen.
But just in the Lord. The only thing you can glory in.
John, I can't hear you.
Huh. You should be sitting closer over here by me.
Squeezed up. You said you read something last night.
Oh, you really didn't hear it at all.
Really didn't hear it.
It's just something in Jeremiah about not glorying in anything that you've got, that you think you have.
Yeah. Going back to this thing, these tells, if you will. If you esteem anything that the world esteems, you know you're on the wrong track. If you fear what the world fears, you're on the wrong track. If you're using your mind for anything without repentance, you're on the wrong track. Up all the scriptures about eagles. There are many. Let's go to Exodus 19. third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now that's obviously a parable, but it's a powerful parable. He desires to give you all things freely, but only when there is no strange God, no strange value system within you. Amen.
Yeah, when you're brought on eagle's wings, then you are not doing anything. You're being carried.
Enjoying the wind in the desert. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Here's where he's using eagles to reveal a kind of punishment. Let's start on verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. For they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be unto thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon this thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies with the Lord, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. I believe that we are in the greatest state that the church at large, as a whole, is in the greatest state of apostasy it has ever seen. And even while that state exists in the nation and the churches in general, there are more people being martyred now than ever before in history at one time. More true believers being martyred. Continue being concerned about our own lives. We still seek to save ourselves. We still put us first. Maybe every once in a while we'll throw God a bone. But God has become an add-on to your life. Instead of your life. And you've kept yourself, the evil one, alive by your rebellion. We are not much, we are probably in almost the same state of apostasy. Even though we've heard the cross for 40 years. But we've become careful. We've left our first love. My word is that we must repent, or he will send enemies swiftly against us. As swift as an eagle flying. We become comfortable. There's much more on eagles, but I'm not sure we'll do much more. But
it's wild. He brings the enemy with the eagle, just like he was carrying Israel with the eagle.
Yeah, and he carried Israel. He carried Jacob as an eagle when there was no strange god, no strange value system within him, where there was total abandonment. Call the name of the place where he was transformed, Peniel, because he saw the face of God and lived. But he didn't live. Jacob died.
Is there any meaning with eagles that they don't eat rotting flesh?
It's very, very rare that an eagle would eat from an animal that it didn't kill. So it's unlike other meat-eating birds. Anyhow, consider these things. Any response to anybody? Neil, what's going on?
I'm
Anthony? Amen?
Amen. I want to be carried by the eagle, not
Gary?
Yeah.
I want to be brought by the eagle.
Any response?
I remember studying about the eagle in the past, and the symbolism that we talked about was that the eagle is at rest. It does nothing but this. It rides the Holy Spirit. It sees clearly. And it is subject to the will of God. And it goes where the wind takes it.
It just is. Never tries to be his.
It's not a hard life in that sense.
No, because you've entered the rest, finally. You cease from your own labors. Today, will it still call today, enter into that rest?
Yes, he sees from the top down as well.
That's God's business with your repentance. Your business is repentance. If you can't. Again, if there's still something in the world that you value, man, then do everything in the world to go try to get it. If you don't have it. If you have it, you probably don't value it anymore. But if there's some place that you think you need to be, if there's something you need to do, if there's whatever it is, go do it, but do it quickly so you can see the emptiness and futility of your idiotic mind. So that the snake can be destroyed by the brightness of his coming or presence. No more using your mind with impunity. No more using the snake to get by in the world. Maybe you don't believe that your mind is the snake, but then if you don't, then we've got a whole other issue.
Seems pretty snaky.
That's why she's so critical. I mean, so just silly to pay any attention to what your mind says. Just ignore the son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. And it really is a son of a bitch. The whore of Babylon. All right, take it, big guy.